The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judah, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Albanon, during the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This happened in Washington, D.C., at a metro station on a cold January morning in 2007. A man with a violin played six pieces by Bach for about 45 minutes. During that time, approximately 2,000 people went through the station, most of them on their way to work. After 3 minutes, a middle-aged man noticed there was a musician playing. He slowed his pace, stopped for a few seconds, then hurried to meet his schedule. 4 minutes later, the violinist received the first dollar. A woman threw the money in the hat without even stopping. 6 minutes in, a young man leaned against the wall to listen, then looked at his watch and walked away. 10 minutes in, a three-year-old boy stopped, but his mother tugged him along hurriedly. The kid stopped to look at the violinist again, but the mother pushed hard and the child continued to walk. This action was repeated by several other children. Every parent, without exception, forced their children to move on quickly. For 45 minutes, the musician played. Only six people stopped. For a short while, about 20 gave money, most not even slowing their pace. The man collected $32. He finished playing, and no one noticed. No one applauded. No one knew this, but the violinist was Joshua Bell, one of the greatest musicians in the world. He played one of the most intricate pieces ever written with a violin worth $3.5 million. 2 days before, Joshua Bell sold out a theater in Boston where the seats averaged over $100 a ticket. This is a true story. Joshua Bell, playing incognito in the metro station, was organized by the Washington Post as part of a social experiment about perception, taste, and people's priorities. The question raised, in a commonplace environment at an unanticipated hour, are we even ready to perceive beauty? Can we stop and appreciate it? Do we truly recognize an amazing event in an unexpected context? One possible conclusion that can be reached is If we do not have a moment to stop and listen to one of the best musicians in the world playing some of the finest music ever written with one of the most beautiful instruments ever made, how many other things are we missing? And especially as people of faith, with the Lord who comes to us in such ordinary ways, who does not come with trumpets, fanfare, but quietly in a stable. They missed him then. The most important act this world has ever seen, dying on a cross when people were rushing, getting ready for the Sabbath. What do we miss? How often do we miss him speaking to us? And we're too distracted, and drowned out by the noise in us and around us, that we do not hear him. This is the second Sunday of Advent. Someone has said that John the Baptist is the watchdog at the gate of Advent, and there's no going in without getting by him. If it's the second Sunday of Advent, then we're going to hear from John the Baptist. Count on it. What do we hear John say? What are some of the great watchwords of Advent? Stay awake. Get ready. Prepare. Ah, there we go. He says, prepare. The voice in the wilderness, around which the throngs left Jerusalem to hear him preach. Prepare. The way of the Lord. Bernard of Clairvaux, among many, has said there's three comings of the Lord. He has come, the Word made flesh, stable at Bethlehem, his death and resurrection. He will come again in glory such that every eye will see him, to put all things right and judge the living and the dead. That's the third coming. But he comes now. He comes today. He comes to you. He comes in his word. He comes in the most holy sacrament. He comes in his Holy Spirit, with which we are continually filled. He comes to you right now in exactly what you're thinking and in the clothes you're wearing and the circumstances of your life. The Lord comes. Archbishop Vigneron visited us in October to lead us in the celebration of 50 years of faithful service for St. Linus Catholic School. We prepared. Our children practiced singing. Sean said they had three practices. He noticed. Our faithful servant Ed Robinson gave special attention to the grounds outside. The church was thoroughly cleaned. We sent out special invitations. We had reserved seating for guests. We had prayer cards and beautiful worship aids. We had an expert photographer. It went very well. Should we have done less? You could say the same for the celebration of our 50th year as a parish and the visit of Cardinal Maida. We prepared for that one for a whole year. What happens when the president comes to the Detroit area? Roads are closed, the airport shut down, airspace is cleared. An advance team starts preparing months ahead of time. He's accompanied by battalions of press, Secret Service personnel, and political aides. If by some great fortune the Pope were to visit St. Linus, giving us Parish of the Year or some such cool thing, Would we prepare? How would we prepare? How would we prepare? John the Baptist says, prepare. Who does he say we're preparing for? For the archbishop or cardinal? For the president or pope? Who does he say we're preparing for? Prepare the way of the Lord, the great King, the great Lord of infinite glory. Prepare the way for him. Now, I've got the same problem you do in preparing for the way of the Lord. Presidents and popes you can see, hear, and touch. Our God says, blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. We deal with what we can directly see, hear, and touch. Like the world famous violinist, how often do we miss him among us because we don't perceive him with our senses? We walk by faith, not by sight. And with any of the dignitaries of this world, once they come, hey, they go. And they don't ever come back, or don't come back for a long time. And you breathe a sigh of relief, and life can go back to normal. I'm glad that's over. This one keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. He doesn't leave us alone unless we turn our backs and walk away. And don't we do that already often enough? That is precisely what sin is. Just leave me alone, we say. The amazing thing is that we're just afraid of love itself. Why do we want to be left alone? By love. Perfect, infinite, merciful, abundant love. So how are we supposed to prepare for the way of the Lord? The Lord who so often comes to us in unexpected ways, at unanticipated times, in unforeseen circumstances. There's many things to say. I'm going to give you three ways to prepare. The first is to pray. The second is to pray. Can you guess the third? The third is to pray. We start with ourselves. Straighten out the crookedness in us, our valleys of fear and mountains of pride. We take first the beam out of our own eye before we take that speck out of our brother's. But what I want to emphasize today is we not only correct the bad, but we seek for the good. I think we focus sometimes too much on the wrong in our lives and think that we need to get all the wrong stuff straightened out before we can grow in virtue. Because what right do sinners have of holiness? And a great, abundant, present experience of God himself. Well, I think we need that in order to deal with the stuff that's not right. I think more often it works the other way. We need to grow in virtue before we're equipped to root out the vice. Preparing for the way of the Lord can be praying more for the things that we do not pray enough for and we need. Do you pray to be holy? You should. By virtue of your baptism, everyone is called to nothing less And it's rooted more in faith and in the work of God in us than all of our right actions, because we know we're sinners. But we're sinners called to holiness. And it's accessible not through our own efforts, but the grace of God. Holiness just means to be like God. We're His sons and daughters. The Father wants His children to be like Him. Free. And full of joy. You pray to be faithful. Faithful to be a disciple, because that's the only kind of Christian. Is a disciple by virtue of baptism, follower of Christ, before and above all else. We all need help with that. So we pray for faithfulness. You pray to be righteous. We don't use that word a lot. It's an important biblical word. It's what true repentance makes us. In a relationship with God such that we have access to all that He has for us. There is a song in your pews, little yellow sheet. Can you all get one, share them around? If one pew is full, the next pew might have some extras. I think it's a good song to sing to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord. For the hidden, unexpected, unanticipated ways the Lord comes to us. A couple weeks ago, people said they'd like more time to respond in prayer to the word of the Lord, like we did 2 weeks ago, and knelt down and had a prayer. Now I invite you to kneel and have us sing the song together. If you haven't heard it before, it's easy to pick up. As you hear it, pray it, fill in when you feel like doing it, but pray it from your heart. Let us pray that indeed the Lord might take our life so that we can believe and prepare the way of the Lord, who wants to come to you now.
Holiness is what I need. Holiness.
Amen. Please be seated.